This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, here we go. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, going to guide you through the fastest 2 hours in radio. As always, at the top of every program, we love to hear from our audience and our listeners across the country. Many different ways to join us. Live on Twitter, at eRadioSports, info, eRadioSports.com, and podcastarena.com. We have an amazing lineup, but we always got to take time to recognize the folks that power us and make it happen, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. And did you know it is O-Reward Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts? Stop in today for store-wide savings, plus earn double O-Reward Bonus Points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and so much more. Perhaps you are not an O-Rewards member yet. Sign up today online or in-store and take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast, it's easy, and it's free. But hurry, double points are only available for a limited time. We've got an amazing lineup tonight. Larry Miller's with us. Special weekend in golf, the Arnold Palmer Invitational, the 42nd edition. It is underway. He's going to be joining us. Also, MLB, 20 days from opening day. And you know who is ready for the start of the season? That is my producer, Jack McCraw. He is donning the big jersey tonight. He loves his Astros. How are you, Jack?
I'm doing well, Alyssa. How are you doing?
You know what? I know we're going to talk some MLB tonight, but NBA, you are a big Mavericks fan, just like the Big E. What did you think of that showdown between Luka and Zion?
It lived up to the hype. Luka put up 30, and he outplayed Zion that entire game.
Who do you think was more impressive on Wednesday night, Luka or Zion? I mean, it was the first meeting of two of the hottest rising stars.
That's close, but I'll have to give it to Luka. He came in with a thumb injury, played through it, and led the Mavericks to victory in overtime and showcased that he should be a top five MVP candidate this season.
What is your belief with the Mavericks right now? They are seventh in the Western Conference standings. Is this a team they are going to advance to the playoffs?
I think they'll definitely give either the Clippers or the Nuggets a run for their money and potentially even give them to a seven-game series. But I think this season, making the playoffs should be the number one priority, and then building on for next season.
Good way to kick off hour one of the Big E Sports Show, you bet, with Jack hanging out, my producer, talking some NBA. You know what? We're ready for some March Madness. Lee Klein, host of That Bracket Show, is coming up next.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, it is Friday night. Welcome back, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Many different ways to connect with us. Always love to hear from you live on Twitter, at eRadioSports. And we also love our sponsors. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. And yes, it may be March Madness, but you know what? Spring football is here. And so let's head out to the ACC. We are going to highlight UNC and Mac Brown's Tar Heels as they finish the 2019 season with a winning record. Always delighted to have back with us this evening, and that is offensive coordinator. He is the quarterback's coach for the Tar Heels, and that is Phil Longo. Good evening, Coach.
Good evening. How are you this week?
I'm doing great. Always excited to talk about your Tar Heels. And they finished the 2019 season very strong with that 55-13 win in the Military Bowl over Temple. And so the Tar Heels, their record was 7-6, had the first winning season since 2016. And it was also the Tar Heels' first bowl win since 2013. So, Phil, this is a program that is trending in the right direction. You guys are on the rise. What will year two be like for you? I mean, how much have the expectations has changed going into the 2020 season?
Well, year two, when year one goes well, when year one goes as planned, year two is one that you're really looking forward to, because you'd like to think that you put in the same work and you progress the same way that you did in the first year. And typically, if you do that, year two is better. You're a better football team and a better program going into year two. But year two, when year one goes as planned, is also a lot more challenging, because as you know, as your program elevates and as you get better, it becomes increasingly more difficult to maintain the standard that you've set for the program. So just to be where we were last year would take more work this year. And of course we have higher standards and higher goals than we did last season. So the expectations are high, which means the work that we do in the off season is going to have to be that much better than it was last year.
Phil, you already have a solid foundation. What were the priorities in the off season to, take the game to the next level?
Well, one of the biggest keys is to develop more competitive depth. You know, last year I played with one quarterback and we play called to keep him healthy. And that didn't give you an opportunity to really utilize all of the tools and weapons that Sam Howell has. So you're a little restricted there. We probably didn't have the depth on the offensive line that we would like to have. Didn't have the depth of tight end that we do really like to have. And so this year, with so many players coming back, having experience on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively, we have a chance to be another player or two or maybe even three deeper at every position, you know, depending on what room we're talking about. And that just bodes well for us. We can keep guys fresh. And any time that a player has to look behind him and maintain a certain standard to keep his starting job, it's going to help your roster and help your team.
UNC's offensive coordinator, the quarterback coach, Phil Longo, with us tonight, SB Nation Radio. You bet he's on Twitter. Give him a follow, at Coach Phil Longo. And there is, already so much excitement about your spring game. It's coming up April 18th, and you guys will have an opportunity to showcase what the Tar Heels are all about. And you just mentioned one of the reasons why you guys have been so successful is because of Sam Howell. As a freshman, he was named an All-American, and you've got to be super excited about as a sophomore. He's coming back with a lot of confidence. So as the quarterback's coach, the offensive coordinator, what are some of the areas that you've challenged him on how he can improve and take it to the next level?
Well, it's interesting because if you look at it on the broad sense, evaluating Sam, you say, well, you know, he can make all the throws, so where does he really need to get better there? He's got very good footwork. Maybe he doesn't need to get better there. He knows the offense really, really well from a mental standpoint in terms of decision-making. And that can always get better, but it's not an issue. It's not a weakness that we've identified. It's actually a strength of his. You know, how is he leadership-wise? And, you know, what kind of character guy is he? Well, you know, if you just look at it on the periphery, all of those things look really, really good. And it makes you wonder, you know, how do you get better from year one to year two? But to Sam's credit and just evaluating all the little things, that's what we found. There's little things that make a huge difference. You know, he's got to look at and he has to focus on, like, decision-making in the red zone, like ball placement on fade balls. Like, it's little precision stuff that we're talking about that will help him elevate his game and perform better going into the 20 season, you know, in comparison to some of the great things he did in the 19 season.
UNC's offensive coordinator, Phil Longo, with us tonight, SB Nation Radio. You know, just a moment ago, you were talking about one of the things looking forward to the 2020 season is the depth that you guys have. So we've been zeroing in and talking about Sam Howell and your quarterback. What about the backup position at QB? Who did you guys add into the mix?
Well, we have two additions. One is a re-addition in that Jace Reuter was our backup going into last season out of Kansas. Excuse me. And he hurt his knee and his ankle in the same play week four or five and wound up being out the rest of the season. And so our backup quarterback after that was a true walk-on that got no reps until Jace had gotten hurt. So he is back, and that will help push Sam. And then we added a quarterback. We signed the Gatorade Player of the Year from the state of Arkansas, Jacoby Criswell, who is a supremely talented, very athletic quarterback with a great arm. And he is here. He arrived in January. So we have Jacoby, we have Jace, and we have Sam coming back in the spring. And then we have a walk-on now with 6 or 7 weeks of practice reps under his belt and a little bit of game plan under his belt. And so there's four guys that know the offense and are really competent, and it's a much different room than it was last year.
Okay, so Jacoby, tell me more about him as far as his demeanor, his disposition. Who does he remind you of? And from what I understand, look, you know, he's a dual-threat quarterback, right?
He's a dual-threat guy. I'm going to date myself a little bit, but he really, really reminds me of Donovan McNabb.
Oh, my. Okay.
And, you know, he's an athlete like Donovan McNabb was. I think the world of Donovan McNabb as a quarterback, but
yeah.
I think that Jacoby is probably a better, pure passer from an accuracy standpoint coming out of high school. And he's got an outstanding arm. He can make any throw on the field. I've seen him make, you know, 35 and 40 yard throws just wrist throwing. And then he's athletic enough to run the ball and then be a threat on the ground with his legs. He puts the time in. He enjoys the game. He knows the game. So he just has to mature into the college game and learn it at the speed of which we play here. But from a talent standpoint, I mean, he's really, really impressive.
You know, Phil, you're an offensive guy, but one of the biggest names in UNC's 2020 recruiting class. How about Desmond Evans, 6'6", 240 defensive end, and he chose the Tar Heels over a number of elite programs. We're running out of time, but what does this guy bring to the table? There's got to be a lot of buzz about him.
Well, I think overall, not just any one individual guy, I think the whole 2020 class as a group, particularly on the defensive side. We've got some good ones that we are really thrilled about on offense. But defensively, there's such an incredible group of guys athletically, from a speed standpoint, can cover ground, you know, led by the one that you mentioned. And, they will have an opportunity to have an impact in this 2020 season, not just on defense, but a lot of those guys wind up playing special teams early in their career also. And to have those type of athletes running around on the field always just bodes well for our program.
We are looking forward to the start of the 2020 season. What a great way to kick off hour one. UNC's offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, does an outstanding job, and that is Phil Longo. Thank you so much, Coach.
Yes, ma'am. Always a pleasure.
Of course. Much more coming your way. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. It is Friday night and many different ways to connect with us. You can always join us on Twitter. We are live at eRadio Sports. Info, eradiosports.com. And twice is nice. Go back and listen to all of our amazing guests and lineup. Podcast, arena.com. Got to recognize and thank the folks that make it happen at SB Nation. And that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We are super excited. The start of the Major League Baseball season, it is just around the corner. And always look forward to opening day. There is already lots of dates I've got circled on my calendar. And we are super excited about our next guest that we are looking forward to visiting with. And that is Bill Ripken. He is MLB Network studio analyst, author of his new book. It is titled The State of Play, The Old School Guide to New School Baseball. Of course, Bill, we know him well, 12-year veteran in the league. Good evening, Bill.
Good evening. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. We have been looking so forward to this conversation. What an honor to have you on our network tonight. And I just want to say congratulations on your new book. I know the copies have been going so fast, and we're looking forward to highlighting that. But a brand new season, it is just around the corner, and there is no shortage of questions in 2020. So as, you know, a studio analyst, a baseball guy, I mean, what are you looking forward to the most? What's the biggest storyline in this year?
Well, there's a couple powerhouses I still think that are in the league. And one, you talk about the Dodgers and what they were able to do in the offseason. The other one would probably be the New York Yankees and what they were able to do last season. So I look at those two teams. I'm a little bit partial to the National League East this year as far as a storyline goes, because the Nationals won the World Series. Atlanta's won the division two straight years. I think the Mets got better and the Phillies got a little bit better. So I'm sitting there looking at a division where the National League East certainly piques my interest, and I'm ready to get this season going to see how that plays out.
Well, Bill, we are here in Houston, and obviously the Astros sign-stealing scandal really has rocked Major League Baseball. How do you feel about the Astros now, and how do you think their season's going to play out this year in 2020?
Well, they're one that I still put right behind the Yankees and the Dodgers as far as the power teams go. It's clear they did something a little bit above and beyond of what was expected or thought of could be done in baseball, and I think the commissioner acted in a certain way. So they've done something to themselves, because here's what's going to happen. If one of those players gets out of the gate 0 for 20, someone's going to say, oh, they don't know what's coming, they can't hit. And if someone gets out of the gate 15 for 20, someone's going to say, oh, they found new ways to cheat. So I do believe that it's a situation that they put themselves in, and it's going to be very interesting to see how this team handles going on the road. And I'm not talking about the first month of the season or the first 2 months of the season. This is probably going to be a year-long thing for these guys when they go on the road. They're going to have to handle something a little bit above and beyond probably what they ever thought they would.
You're listening to The Voice. Bill Ripken, Major League Baseball Network studio analyst, appearing on MLB Tonight and other programs. He is a 12-year Major League veteran and has just released his new book. It is titled The State of Play, The Old School Guide to New School Baseball. Looking so forward to his insights. You know, but as we talk about this whole scandal, it's one of the biggest in baseball history, and it's been a very tough offseason. How does Major League Baseball, how do they recover? How do they... You know, how do they rehabilitate their image?
Well, there's always been hiccups throughout the history of the game, and baseball has always survived, and I don't think that this will be anything different. Time sort of heals everything. We still have to understand that there's an ongoing investigation basically in the 2018 into the 2018 Red Sox. So we've got to get through both of these, and I think moving forward, once that happens, I think that the commissioner's office and the Players Association are going to get together, and they are going to lay the ground rules for something moving forward. So if ever this was to happen again in this type of manner, I'm sure the players would be included in punishments, unlike what is handed down so far to the Houston Astros organization.
What was your reaction to just the lack of remorse from perhaps like the players and with everything, that how it played out?
Yeah, I don't think they necessarily handled it the best of ways, and that's always easy from the outside looking in, but you would almost wanted something like, you know what, we started doing something, and we started having a little success, and then one thing led to another, and then the next thing you know, the snowball was rolling down the mountain, and it got too big to stop. If that would have came out, you might have some people out there going, huh, I get it. But it just didn't seem that that was the approach whatsoever. And clearly, knowing what pitch is coming, and it's not necessarily the pitch you hit, but it might be the slider you lay off in the dirt,
right?
Because you knew the slider was coming that got you another pitch so you could hit it. So it didn't seem like they went out there with that sort of tact. And that's why I'm really interested to see how they go on the road this year, because you know there's going to be people sitting in the stands with all kinds of signs of their own, and there's probably going to be a few trash cans being banged on the road as well.
Well, Bill, how many wins do you think the Astros will have?
Oh, they're going to have a lot. I mean, I still think no matter what we talk about the 2017 Astros World Championship, and is that conversation going to revolve around tainted? Yes. But when you look at the talent that they have and how they were drafted in the first place, and so they weren't stealing signs when they were amateurs. They probably weren't doing this stuff when they were playing through the minor leagues. So when you look at how these guys got to the big leagues and their capabilities, they're good. So when you look at that, I don't know if I'm necessarily going to put 100 out there,
mm-hmm.
but if they win 95, I don't think there's any doubt that they're going to be winning the American League West again.
Bill Ripken is with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, MLB Network studio analyst, a 12-year Major League veteran. We are going to be talking about his new book here momentarily, but let's talk about some good news. Okay, spring training, it's underway. In your mind, who's kind of turning head in camp? I mean, who do we need to be keeping our eye on?
Well, I think the young talent overall in baseball is so much fun to watch. And we've not only been able to see these over the years, but it's what they've already done in the big leagues. you know, Juan Soto was definitely on display last year through the postseason in the World Series. We saw what Ronald Acuña Jr., you know, brings to the table. So I'm just interested to see, okay, what are these next 20-year-olds that are coming into the game and making these big splashes? Because it's crazy that we almost have one a year. And it goes back to the Mike Trout days.
Yeah.
And he's been doing this for a long time. But the age of these guys getting to the big leagues and doing their thing so early is so much fun to watch. And I'm waiting to see, okay, who's going to emerge this year as being one of those 20, 21-year-old kids that's just going to be, you know, everybody's watching him because they're so locked in on his talent.
Glad you're with us. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, going one-on-one with Bill Ripken. We know the name, author of his new book. It is titled State of Play, The Old School Guide to New School Baseball. 12 years as a Major League veteran. So tell us, as far as what was the inspiration of your book? Why did you write this?
Well, I think over the years, all the conversation that has swirled around the new school in charge, and there's new metrics and there's new analytics that is involved, I think that people either don't know or just misinterpret what an old school guy was, because old school guys have always used numbers and information to come up with a plan to play. And some of these so-called new things that are now named or measured in the game have been in the game forever. But it seems like people are standing on a soapbox saying, oh, this is new, that's new. My father used to say, you hit it, you pitch it, you catch it better than the other team, and you win. And that still holds true today. And that's just not from an old guy that just went out there with gut instincts and flew by the seat of his pants. That was guys that put their knowledge and their information to a game plan. So I just wanted everybody to know old school guys use numbers and we use information along the way.
Okay, so you are an old school guy. You wanted to make sure that your opinions, the old school voice, was being represented in your new book. But I just have to wonder, I've mentioned several times what you do. You're an MLB analyst. How much do you use analytics when you're coming on air?
Well, it's how you define analytics, because I believe that that has come into this whole noun stage now, instead of analyzing something, which would be the verb, because I've always analyzed things. Now, though, if there is a new number or a new bit of information out, it's just deemed it's an analytic. And I don't buy in to most of the phrases that come into play. For example, if we're talking about DRS,
okay,
the new statistical category of defensive run saved, I don't like it. And guess what? I use numbers and I use information to actually prove why I don't like it. So it's not like I'm this crusty old dude that just says, oh, this is crap, don't listen to it.
Right, right.
I'm going to actually give you numbers and reasoning why I don't like some of these things that are involved in the game. So the analytics is so funny to me, because analyzing something is what baseball guys have done since the beginning of time, and new things have been introduced to the game, and things have been reintroduced to the game, because baseball has always been a cyclical thing.
You know, Bill, there's so much information out there. It seems like they're forcing technology. So help us understand. I mean, I'm thinking of wins above replacement. I mean, new school, old school. What's your definition of old school?
Well, old school is the guys that use the numbers and information to better themselves. And when I say that like that, people will just assume I'm talking about a new school person.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between the old and the new is the old school guy has something that the new school guy doesn't, and that's called experience. And I don't think there's any substitution that can replace something like experience. Now, I'm not saying there's not room for more information and for more young guys coming in the game with different thoughts. By all means, have them. But if you have them and you turn them over to a baseball guy and he says, yeah, I appreciate your effort, but this is not going to work and here's why, you have to trust the fact that he knows what he's talking about. He's not just being rigid or unwilling or unable to conform to the new school of thought.
It is a must read. It is titled State of Play, The Old School Guide to New School Baseball. What an honor to have with us on our network at SB Nation. And that is Bill Ripken, and so much more that I want to dive into. We'll extend the invitation once again and have you back. Thank you so much, Bill. Have a great weekend.
I tell you what, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Of course. Much more coming your way. The fastest 2 hours in radio, the Big E Sports Show. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, it is Friday night. Back with you at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Our program being presented to you by our good friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. And perhaps you have a car problem. Well, you don't know where to go. Maybe you're not close to home when your car breaks down. Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts Shop Referral Program, you can take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com and click Find a Repair Shop to find a reputable repair facility or service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices with you every day. Well, as always, it is time for some PGA news and notes, and we are ready to recap a wild finish at the Honda Classic and discuss another special weekend in golf with the API, the Arnold Palmer Invitational. That is currently underway. Always delighted to go inside the ropes and visit with former PGA Tour player and prolific author. That is the great Larry Miller. Good evening, Larry.
Well, good evening, everybody, and Big E, and it's great to be back again this week. A lot to talk about this week.
Oh, we certainly do. We have a lot of ground to cover, but before we recap the Honda Classic, I did want to get your thoughts on, how about that first tee announcer that made three embarrassing mistakes during Luke Donald's introduction last weekend? The starter, he messed up the pronunciation of Luke Donald's hometown and then completely butchered the rest of the intro, saying he was the 2016 winner of the Honda Classic, and he also called him Larry. He called him Luke McDonald. So perhaps he had too many adult beverages. I mean, he had such a great voice. I'm like, how did this happen? He only had one job, right?
Well, it's one of the negative aspects of drinking too early in the day, you know. Well, those guys, they get nervous sometimes, you know. I mean, they here they are, you know, announcing the best players in the world, and they're kind of awestruck to begin with, some of them. And you know, I've seen it happen before, you know, where they butcher names and stuff, easy names too.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's probably more out of just nervousness than anything else. I'd hate to think that it's imbibing too early. I mean, but it does happen.
Listen, let's get your takeaways from the Honda Classic. Tommy Fleetwood, he comes up short, another close call, and still hoping for his first win on the PGA Tour. He had, that second shot on the final hole, that it just was a bad one, and it cost him his chance. He needed, a birdie to force a playoff. What were your takeaways?
Well, he's catching a little flack for, you know, trying that shot, you know, when he could have laid up right in front of the green and had a little pitch shot or, you know, half wedge shot and try to make birdie, you know. But the green, if you remember where the pin was, way back right.
Mm-hmm, right.
And that green is sort of a really long green diagonally from the left front to the right back. It's much, I don't know, 120 feet or something or more. And so he had a lot of green if he's going to play, which he was trying to do, play a cut shot. And I watched it several times on a replay, and you know, he didn't make any mistakes. He was set up well left enough to be safe. He was almost at the left edge of the green, and I know he was trying to hit it there and then let the ball slide right, cut it a little bit. And the bottom line is, so he did everything right in terms of strategy and the way he set up, and even the decision. Because setting up that far left is pretty safe. It's very safe, actually, if you
okay.
make any kind of a decent swing. And the bottom line is he just picked the wrong time to make a really bad swing. It was almost like he was trying to guide the ball to the spot where he wanted instead of being aggressive. He was set up well left enough that if he'd taken an aggressive swing and stayed down through the shot, there's no way the ball would have gone in the water. Worst case scenario would have been a little too far right in the bunker or something. But there's no way it would have gotten wet if he makes a halfway decent aggressive swing. You know, sometimes in that situation and that pressure is really ratcheted up, you tend to guide the ball and try to steer it instead of just letting it go and being aggressive like you normally do. I think that was the mistake. It was just a bad swing at a bad time, kind of an aberration, if you will, because he doesn't hit many shots like that. He's going to win a bunch. He's a great ball striker, and he's going to keep pecking away, and he'll break through.
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, what can we learn from Tommy Fleetwood's execution down the stretch? I mean, did he have the right club in his hand?
He absolutely had the right club. The lesson to learn there is to stay aggressive down the stretch.
Okay.
And when you're in contention, when the pressure's at its highest, you want to be aggressive, not tentative, because that's when you steer and guide the ball, and that's when your body stops rotating and it blocks your hands and arms out, and the club face is wide open, and the ball's going dead right, like it did. And then, of course, the wind was going, you know, left to right, which exaggerated everything, made it even worse. So it was a perfect storm of imperfection, if you will. But, yeah, that's the lesson. The lesson is, though, you know, whether it's your club championship or playing with your buddies on the last hole for lunch, you know, be aggressive at the end, because most people tend to tense up a little bit and tighten up and then swing tentatively. So always be aggressive when the pressure's on.
You know, my son Stephen and I, we were talking about this and watched the replay several times. And the thing that Stephen mentioned is that you got to factor in that there was a fan that screamed in Tommy Fleetwood's backswing. That's a shame, because he said the fan, you know, shouted out, "Get in the hole."
Yeah. They, you know, that's gotten out of hand a little bit on tour with, you know, "You're the man" and "Get in the hole." And you know, people that do that just need attention. You know, they're trying to draw attention to themselves and get everybody to look at them, and even if it's in a negative way, they're just attention getters. And but, you know, on tour, I can remember, I mean, you become, when you play long enough out there, you become oblivious to all that noise. It's like white noise. But, however, when someone yells loudly, one person, you know, if the whole gallery's murmuring and whispering, that's like white noise. But when one person yells out and screams out like that, right when you take the club back, well, that can really mess you up and disrupt your timing, to say the least. So I wish the tour officials, when somebody does that, would put them off the grounds, really. They need to be put out of there, and the game doesn't need that.
We are Inside the Ropes with Larry Miller, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect. You can join us online at Twitter, at eradiosportsinfo, eradiosports.com, at podcastarena.com. Larry, connect with our audience, and where can they go and find out more about your golf instruction?
Well, it's larrymillergolf.com, and it's a website where you send in videos to me and of your swing, a couple of different angles with a couple of different clubs, and I analyze those videos and kind of diagnose your problems and then give you a recipe for fixing everything. I'll give you drills to reinforce what I'm telling you, and then we'll get on the phone and have a long telephone conversation about your game and your swing, and we'll discuss all the subtleties of it and details, and you'll come away with a good plan for improvement.
It is a special weekend, the Arnold Palmer Invitational, the 42nd edition. It is underway in the Sunshine State. Yes, it continues. We're going to talk about that here in just a moment. But as we recap the Honda Classic, give us your thoughts. Weigh in on Sung J M, who, you know, wins the his first career PGA Tour victory. He's only 21 years old, so composed. And as a young player, there are just great things ahead for him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He hung in there, and he was choking a bit, too, there, you know, when he hit that short iron or wedge in the bunker. Really easy shot.
Okay.
And that was definitely a good example of the pressure getting to you. But to his credit, he hung in there and hit a super bunker shot and ended up prevailing when Fleetwood messed up at the end. But that guy, you know, you're right about his composure. He is way mature beyond his years, and it's almost like he's been out there for 30 years. The way that he handles the the way his demeanor,
so true,
demeanor,
yeah,
so laid back and pretty impressive, and very disciplined, and great player. I mean, one of those young of rising stars, of which there are many right now, it seems, in golf.
Well, in 2018, he was named the Player of the Year on the Corn Ferry Tour. And although he gets his win at the Honda Classic, he's the youngest player ever to win there. But he is playing this weekend in the API, the Arnold Palmer Invitational. So no rest for the weary. Your thoughts on this Invitational, and what are the keys to playing at Bay Hill? I'm sure you've played it, you and Connie.
Yeah, I've played it many times, and we still miss Arnie, don't we?
Of course.
Miss him being there on the 18th green greeting the winner. And just, you can see him, you almost see his ghost out there. But anyway, it's a golf course. Bay Hill's a golf course where it's really not, it doesn't favor the bomber. You know, it's more of a second shot golf course, an approach shot course, which is why Tiger Woods has won there, what, eight times, I think. And because, you know, Woods is the best iron player ever picked up an iron. And that's what that course demands, really good iron play. You don't have to be that long. And so it brings into the equation, since, you know, Tiger's not playing this week, guys like Matt Kuchar, and Zach Johnson, these guys who are not necessarily that long, but very good at you know, course management and very strategic players who are also great iron players, because it's definitely a second shot golf course. Of course, when we say that, we're talking about approach shots, because on a par three, it's one shot, and then on a par five, it's two, you know, two before you hit the approach. But it's an approach shot golf course where the approach shots to the greens, that's where you make your money on that golf course. You don't have to bomb it necessarily.
You know, we were just talking about Tommy Fleetwood and Sunday's close call. It will be interesting to see how he responds. And one of the things I wanted to get into tonight, you know, Tommy has won a lot in Europe and on the European Tour. And in your mind, Larry, what's the difference between, you know, the PGA and the European Tour? How much harder is it to win on the PGA? What are the differences? What are those main differences?
It's much, much harder to win in the U.S. because the depth of talent is so much greater. You know, the European Tour has great players, but not that many relative to the U.S. It's gotten to the point now on the PGA Tour, and even almost on the Korn Ferry Tour, pretty much. It's gotten to the point where anybody in the field can win, really. I mean, it's never used to be like that. I mean, it used to be, when I played, it was even more so. You know, in the days of Nicklaus and Palmer and Player and Trevino, those guys only had 10 or 12 people to beat, really.
Right.
And it's evolved now, and then you started getting more good players and more. And now you've got, you know, if there's 156 in the field, I mean, anybody can have four good rounds and win because the depth of talent is that great.
The parity.
And it's that hard to just get on the tour now. You know, that's what's happening with the game. And so that's why it's so much harder to win in the U.S. But, you know, European Tour, few great players, but I don't know, what, 15 or 20 of them, and that's it. So a lot easier to win there than over here.
Well, Larry, I'm not sure if you heard Paul Azinger. He's been catching some heat for some of the comments he made during the broadcast comparing the PGA Tour and the European Tour, and there was just some backlash, and he was criticized. And I know I'm paraphrasing here, but he was saying something to the effect that in reference to Tommy Fleetwood that, hey, you can win all you want on the European Tour, but you have to get it done, basically, on the PGA Tour. So there was pressure on Tommy Fleetwood coming into that final round, you know, coming over here and playing on a PGA Tour event and you know, just being able to make it at this level, so.
Yeah, and that might be a harsh statement, but it happens to be true, too, and it really is true. And now, Fleetwood's going to win here over here, I'm sure of that. He's just too good of a player. And again, Bay Hill is another good course for him. But, you know, it's just, you know, you say things like that on air, and of course you're going to get backlash from it no matter what. From somebody, yeah. Somebody's going to be unhappy no matter what you say. But it happens to be true. And, you know, they said when he took over and Johnny Miller retired that he was going to be direct like that. And I like that. I like that. Faldo is a little bit direct, too, not quite as much. But you need that. The game needs that. People want to know the truth. You know, they want to know what they really think.
Here, our PGA News and Notes will continue with Larry Miller after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's go back inside the ropes with Larry Miller. We all want to work on our putting. So what is the mindset of a great putter? And what are some of those essential skills that you need to consistently putt great?
Well, it's a blend of science and art. You definitely have to the science part of it, the reading of the greens, where, you know, like aim point, you know, that method of reading greens, it gets pretty scientific because it really breaks the green down into just little sections of inches. And so you have a greens book that shows you the slopes and where the contours are. And that's why you see guys studying those books so much, trying to figure it out. That's the science part of it. And then the art part of putting is the feel and the touch and the instinct and the ability to judge distance and distance control with your putts accurately. you know, it's one way to develop that is to practice. You find a putt that's uphill, and then you know, on a putting green between two holes, mm-hmm. you find an uphill putt, and you go back and forth. You go uphill and turn around and putt the ball back to the other hole downhill. You go back and forth, uphill, downhill. It's a great way to practice your distance control in putting. Really good way to do it. And then also practice a lot of 30 and 40 footers, trying to leg the ball up into a 2 foot circle around the cup. And then you get to the 3 and 4 foot putts, and then more science comes into that, because then you have to have the read of the green, but also a really perfectly back straight mechanical stroke. So 30, 40 footers is more feel and touch and art. Than science, but the science comes in when the trying to make a perfect mm-hmm. stroke, and then also reading the green accurately. So anyway, that's some ways that you can develop your putting touch.
And we all need that S7K putter, right? The new standalone putter where you can get the perfect alignment.
Yeah, I don't know about that. You know, I guess the next thing, it's going to swing itself.
Oh, we always got to kick it.
Coming in this uh-huh. today's world.
Absolutely. Well, Larry, listen, we are flat out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy this very special weekend in golf with the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Glad you're back from Florida. We'll talk actually in 2 weeks. We are off next week for spring break.
Oh, okay. Well, everybody enjoy spring break, and we're all going to – let's toast our Arnold Palmer lemonade and iced tea up to Arnie up there. We're going to miss him this week. But,
absolutely.
You all have a great week, and we'll talk in 2 weeks.
Absolutely. Much more coming your way. SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio.